Hi, Unpackers. Want to thank you to coming back to another episode. And remember, whatever you hear, Tay and I are simply providing a perspective. Neither of us are professionals. We expect for you to, you know, reach out to certified professionals if you need the help. And this is simply our perspective. If you hear an interaction that reminds you of yourself, then just know it comes from grace. And if you would like to come on and unpack it with us, you have an open invitation. You can find our pages on unpacking.your.ish on most social media. And if you'd like to support our work, you can do that through paypal.me/unpacking.your.ish. Again, thanks.
Yeah, thank you for listening, and let's unpack.
Hello, unpackers. This is Reese.
And this is Tay. What's up, everybody?
And this is season four?
Yes.
Season four. Wow. What?
Cuatro.
Yeah.
Cuatro. Yes, in Espanol. Unpacking your ish in Espanol. I'm in. This season, last season we did normalizing. This season we are gonna do friends and family edition. So all of our episodes will have our friends and family, or some of them.
Yeah.
We'll have friends and family included. So this week we've got Gary.
Hello.
And Tiffany.
Yo.
Yes. And so we want to thank them for, you know, stopping by with us. And we're going to talk about a couple different things. I think, one, we are together because we had brunch.
We did. It was amazing. Yes. We'll be posting a picture later. But it was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. And it's, I think, one of the things that I like about our friendship group is that we can get together and have these moments, you know. Yeah, I think one of the things for me has been challenging, I feel like, as an adult, to find friends that are like, oh, that they're there for me, that, you know, that show up. So I appreciate you all for being answers to prayer, and I'm grateful for that. And so we have traditions, because it's really important to create traditions. So one of the traditions that we've started is we've watched a show together. We did Harlem, so that was great in February. And this, one of the reasons we're together today is we watched another show, Unprisoned. Unprisoned, as my Hulu audio assistant would say. And so first, we definitely want to encourage you all to watch the show. Yeah, we wanted to have a season two. But we do a smaller recap of what we thought. We watched four episodes. Let me do the episode names.
Yeah. Carrie.
Mm-hmm. Carrie Washington. You know her from Scandal. Little Fires Everywhere, etc. Yeah. Famous actress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really, really good.
She handles stuff.
Yeah. So she's a marriage and family therapist who is dealing with her dad, recently being released from prison. And she's reintroducing her into her life, him into her life, and then introducing him into her son's life. So pretty interesting.
Yeah.
What were the episodes?
So we watched four episodes. So the first one was Repetition Compulsion. Then we have How to Be a Main Beach. Are you, and this is Main B. So Are You My Mother Wound? And then In Dad We Trust. And one of the reasons why, yes, and what, oh, distrust, sorry. Oh, you got it. Okay. So I think one of the reasons I chose this for our friends, I thought it would resonate with us, is because we do talk about like psychology and things like that. Because the repetition compulsion, that intro was so great. If you all know, does anyone want to say what repetition compulsion, other than me, Alan, talk the whole time?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
we go.
I mean, you just repeat the same shit again and again. I mean, in simple terms, you repeat the same stuff, different people.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you don't really actually take that time to process, think, deal, you just really keep redoing it and redoing it and reliving it. And as somebody who has done that, it is not fun.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that term before, but I really liked it. It resonated with me as soon as I saw it. It's because you can feel like, oh, this person's completely different from every person that I've chosen before. But you end up feeling the same. Because you're not dealing with this internal stuff within yourself. So, love the show. Is there any other thoughts? I guess we can talk about, you know, I guess episode by episode or just in general. However you want to feel it.
I didn't get any points that you felt out of the show. Like, let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, repetition compulsion for me. Mm-hmm. Because I do find myself going back through the same triggers. Different people, same triggers, but thankfully, because I've started to process them, I can actually be like, okay, this is a trigger. Let's not do the thing that we usually do before, which one of them can either go to the extreme and swing one way of super anxious attachment where I cling, or the other way of avoid it. They are both not the fun, because I've recently, actually this week, was triggers of hitting every time the avoided one where I was ready to be like, fuck this, I'm not dealing with it.
Yeah. And so if you're unfamiliar with attachment styles, it's something if you listen to the podcast before, we've talked about, definitely there is a book called Attached. If you look, I would say a good online resource is, what is that YouTube channel? Psych2Go. They have really short videos that are really helpful and informative. Again, like they say, they, you know, it's not for to diagnose, it's simply just for information. But attachment,
only like 6 or 7 minutes.
So exactly. Exactly. And so attachment style is basically the idea that we learn how to love and see love through our families and our familial dynamics. And so because of that, we show up in our adult relationships or the same ways. You have anxious attachment style, which is, oh my goodness, I feel like this person doesn't love me. They're always afraid. So you want to be close, basically clingy to someone all the time. That's kind of anxious. Avoidant is like, oh, feelings are kind of gross and they scare me. That's too much and I'm overwhelmed. So stay away. You can have some other, you know, disorganized or maybe like a mix of both. And then secure attachment, which is basically you figure out what's going on with other people within them, and you just try to stay centered. So it's really good to be aware of it. No, as we say here, you don't need to be fixed. Like, nothing is permanent. You just need to try to understand yourself so that you can make better choices. I appreciated that too.
Mm-hmm. Y'all feel like you had any relationships that could have been saved if you knew what that your attachment style was? That
and
maybe it could be really.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Relationship saved? No. Relationship probably avoided?
Yes.
More so saving me.
Interesting. I feel like, you know, my former partner who's been named previously, if I would have known what I know now, I probably would have approached that differently. I possibly could have provided a little more grace before I said, I'm kind of done. Even though ultimately getting to that point helped me look inward and do work. So, you know.
Right. Yeah. Well, I know for me what stood out is the relationship between the father and the daughter.
Mm.
Because in the main bitch episode.
That was so sweet.
It was so sweet, but it was like legit kind of effed up at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, he was explaining to her the idea of how men look at women and what determines a side chick and a main bitch, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And he explained to her, you know, you're a main bitch and you deserve that. And in the sweetest way he could, he was explaining to her that you deserve everything.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine how hard that was for her to accept that and hear that from him, being that he's the one that put that doubt there. And so, like, for me, that really resonated with me, because I can only imagine, like, a daughter looking at the man that, you know, gave her or didn't give her.
Yeah, you caused the issue.
That a man was supposed to do for her, or a partner was supposed to do for her. And then he comes back around after you're already fucked up and have made all these stupid decisions and says, oh, but you're worth that. Like, I can only imagine. That moment, I already told John, my father and I are talking again, but like, that moment hasn't quite came to me yet. And in watching that, I was like, I wonder what I would do. I wonder how I would say, I wonder if I would feel like her. She was like teary eyed. You could tell it really hit her to hear him say that finally. But for me, I was kind of like, I wonder how I would really feel about that. Mm-hmm. You know, so that really resonated with me a little bit. Yeah.
I'm just still waiting for the ownership from my dad for his stuff. Like, I've heard it from my mom, and that's actually been very healing. And during that time, it's like I teared up, because as time, we're starting to heal and learn each other. So it's taking that. But from my dad, I wonder, because I can see he's avoided when it comes to stuff. And so a lot of times the interactions have to be very logical and intellectual, nothing emotional. And you can, like, literally, I heard him blame all the mothers of his kids. But it's like, but your part of the relationship is on you. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with our mothers. It has nothing to do with anybody. It's on you. Because the way that I look at this, relationships are not built just because I live with you. Mm. They're built because you spend time with me. You get to know me. You need to help me feel safe. And one of the biggest things was I never fully felt 100% safe with my dad, to be like, oh yeah, let me go live with dad now. No. So that his vision, dream, whatever, however that was for him, of what he was really thinking, because I don't know his real intentions, which, funny enough, everybody always, we have that same thought process of, what are your real intentions when it comes to him coming back in our lives? So we have to go in with caution, just a lot like Kerry Washington's character.
Absolutely. Right. She's definitely proceeding with caution.
Yeah. So, but, like, I can relate to that, proceeding with caution. But it's, like, for me, it's a constant. Like, I'm just, like, I would love for you to actually take ownership that you didn't have 100 right. And there were things you could have done to build all of your relationships with your kids. Each and every one of us. But you got me, who's open the door. The door is there if you want to build that. And you got my youngest sister, who's like, I'm not going to talk to him. He ain't got my contact information. He ain't got Dilly Squad. I'm not talking to him. So it's just like, it is what it is.
What about you, Gary?
For my...
your thoughts. What resonated with you?
I love it. I'm all over it. I'm all in. But I think definitely the attachment style conversation. And because what I was saying during the show, I think I took a quiz earlier in last year about what my attachment style was, and it was the disorganized one. Mm-hmm. And I was so offended, because I'm a very organized person. How dare anyone insinuate I'm not organized? But, and Maurice was actually the one that told me when we read the description for it, he was like, actually, this does kind of sound, based on what you told me, and in your relationship with your mom, this actually kind of connects. And I was like, okay, you might be right. But this, the show kind of touching on it, and then I was talking about it, I was like, okay, I see it now. And now being in my very first relationship, for those who heard me on the, what was the, Are You the One? The one where I had never been in one, update from that. Now I'm in my very first one, and I'm starting to see where the avoidant part is coming up, and then also where the
anxious
one is coming up, and how they're mixing all the time.
It's a roller coaster, isn't it?
It's a roller coaster.
Well, I think, okay, Gary, do you mind if I put the focus on you a little bit?
Oh, gosh.
Okay, because I think that's rare. It's been a long time since I've my first relationship. Mm-hmm. And so when you talk about the things that spring out, is there anything that because you talked about how much work you've done to get to this place, to be open, to, you know, be in a,
amazing.
And now I happen to do it.
Yeah. Well,
talked about it in practice,
wanting
to do it, but now having to do it, I'm like, oh.
Is there something that surprised you, maybe like three things that surprised you about getting into a relationship that you...
Just because you're in love, or you have someone that loves you and you feel they actually do accept you for who you are, that doesn't erase your own insecurities in yourself. I kind of for some reason had this dream, once I'm in love and I have a man that loves me for me, I'm not gonna feel self-conscious about my weight, and I'm not gonna feel self-conscious about this, that, and the other. And so, because he's gonna love me, so it doesn't matter what anyone else think about it or what I think about it. But no, that's a lie. That's one for sure. The part about the avoidant, and want to run away from, it's not even, that's the thing, it's been stuff that's come up, but no serious issue has happened other than the fact that, he is there for me in ways that I didn't think anyone would ever be sense. And it's still hard for me every single day to just accept that. And people tell me, you deserve it, you deserve it. And I'm I keep trying to tell myself that too. And for some reason, it's still hard to sink in for me. And I don't know what part in the childhood where I was growing up where I just felt like I didn't deserve it. But it's, I guess, maybe learning to accept that you can, it's okay to accept that, I guess.
That someone loves you.
And me for me. So, and then number three, it's still possible. I was going to say, you should never know the details of a previous relationship. Because I'm a very curious person, and again, with this being my first relationship, and his not first, I've asked questions. Oh, well, what was this like with this person, and this with that guy, and what did y'all do, and this, thinking that it would help me figure him out more, and all it did was just give me more jealousy and insecurity issues, and make me not feel like, oh gosh, I can't provide that, or I'm not, does he still want that and all this stuff? When he's constantly telling me, there's a reason I'm not with them anymore, that I want to be with you, but in my mind, it's still but how do I believe you? How do I trust you? And trust. I didn't realize how hard that trust is to provide. And it's funny, I trust him, yet at the same time, I'm like, but do I trust me to trust him?
It's the comparison trap.
I appreciate first I want to say two things. Tiffany, when you're talking about being present is not create a relationship, that reminded me of me and my father. And I love my dad, but the way that he showed love when I was growing up, because he lived with me and my mom, is basically to be a provider. We didn't have connection and do a lot of things together, have our own traditions. And so now as an adult, it's I do love you and I do things for you because I love you, but it's I don't feel compelled to I want to spend time with you. My mom sometimes let's go do something, or let's go shopping, or da-da-da-da. Or I would want to spend time with her. He works too much. But I feel comfortable around her 100%. My father, not so much. So that resonated with me. I wanted to share that. And then with this, I mean, it's really funny because some of those things I probably would have thought as well. I know when I pictured being gay, what I thought would happen would be like, oh, I meet someone, we'd be friends, and you know, exactly, falling up, and then maybe if it didn't work out, like I'd still have a friendship, you know, it'd be great, da da da. Yeah, that's not the reality. It's not. It's like people are like, oh, I'm done with you. I don't ever want to see you again. Like, block your number. And it's just like,
I think it depends on the relationship and it depends on the dynamic. Because for me, being friends with one of my exes,
mm-hmm.
or trying to be friends with all the exes, but the original, the first one that I thought I would be okay with, yeah, no, we had our own little thing that I had to correct really quickly because I was just like, okay, now I see why we are not close as friendships and trying to build a friendship, because it's not healthy for me, especially when I've gone to this place. My second ex, she and I are friends and we talk from time to time. And it's just, you know, it's amazing how she's very supportive about me moving forward in my life and different things. And she's quick to call me out and ask questions and everything else in between. And then, of course, with recent ex, it's an interesting place to be. because we've moved past to where we can build a friendship, but I am at a state and a place where I am not going to pour energy into this anymore unless I see that you're actually trying to pour energy into it. And she's slightly trying. So I'm just slightly right there. Okay. And I said, we'll see how that goes. But I know for me, a little distance is what I needed because that was a big blow up.
Mm-hmm.
May I ask a question? So, because it's something that we kind of talked about, but what do you feel like that you want to maintain, I guess, or maybe have a friendship with that ex? What do you like? Why? I guess it's my simple. Why do you want that?
Like, what do you get out of it?
With the first ex, it was that sense of we had a great friendship from the get go. In itself, for saving the friendship. Well, that one didn't get saved. The second one, we didn't end badly. What we're good at is bringing out the best in each other.
Okay.
And giving good thoughts, bringing positivity to the table. We have things that we actually have in common and having good, thoughtful discussions like we're doing right now. That's what I did with her on a consistent, during that time of the relationship, but even slightly before then. It was just having those engaging kind of conversations. With the last one, I don't get anything, if that makes sense. I get fun, and if she decides she wants to hang out or something, and I get better as far as understanding how to take care of my nails and stuff. Yes. But beyond that, I don't really see anything there. So that's why I put more of that exerting energy of, if you actually want this friendship, show me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm open to it. Mm-hmm. But it's more so for her to show me, because yes, we had a great time when we're cool, we have some great laughs, and that's a lot of what I get with her. But if it doesn't continue into a friendship, and if it doesn't go anywhere, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, just accepting like, for what is. And I think what's good with that, and I, you know, because your last one was, okay, don't know anything about the past relationships. And I think you are learning what works for you. Because I think some of these things, like, definitely our ideas about what love would be, like some of those, like, I think that's kind of universal because we get Disney messaging and romance from Hollywood of what love should look like. That's cultural. And then some of the things are like what is comfortable with, because for me, you didn't tell me everything.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, shoot, I know. And I look at it as.
And I thought I was that person.
Here's how I approach I see it as transparency. Transparency is turning on the freaking light.
Mm-hmm.
And I would prefer that you turn on the light so I can see where I'm going and know what to avoid, versus trying to, like, I'm walking through your space and I'm tripping over stuff because you didn't turn on the damn light so we could see.
Okay.
And so, you know.
I agree with you on that, because it's like, it's tripping on triggers. And, like, if nobody ever shares some of that backlog of why the relationship failed or some of the things that happened, you don't know. And you could be, you could sit up there, you could actually ask yourself, I think this is where I got to a place of not doing the comparison so much. It's starting to ask myself questions of, like, one, do I have these things? Two, am I willing to change them? Three, if they're, like, negative type traits. And it's being real and honest with myself. And if not, just be like, okay, hey, love you. I'm going to move forward. Because right now, I know way too much about people's previous relationships. All my relationships.
For me, like, my very first relationship was my marriage. And then I got into another relationship right after that. And to me, like, maintaining friendships or relationships is not necessary, and I don't want to. because for me, and not only because both relationships ended kind of.
Yours were negative, though, I think.
Well, not necessarily. We both had great friendships. My ex-husband and I were friends.
Yeah, but they've ended negatively.
The ending. You're talking about
the ending. No, seriously. Okay. Where it went bad was when we tried to hold on. That's where it went bad.
So you think, like,
when we broke up, and this is why I say I don't think you should, once it's over, it's over. Because we broke up, and then we attempted to do that, oh, let's stay friends. And then friends turned into a lot of entanglement and mess. Then we finally had to end on bad, negative places, because we attempted to keep that friendship, knowing that if we had completely walked away from each other, we would give ourselves time to really
I think that's the key component.
The thing was, we ended, but the entanglement is where it went left.
It is.
So, like, yeah. I don't want to be friends with an ex. They're, you're an ex for a reason.
I get that where you're coming from, but I would say the one thing that makes the difference is giving each other that distance. I would not be as open to being in a friend. This is why I look at it. For my first one, we kept it trying to be friends, entertainment, whatever else. We don't really talk other than it's about the phone bill, which I'm working on changing. Then second one, she ended up cutting and blocking me so that way we can have a friendship, because she knew it would come up to where we will end bad, even worse, trying to do this. So giving that space all this time, and yes, it was 2 years, 3 years, something like that. And now coming around to where we can talk, we can actually have good conversation. Same thing with the third. It's because of the distance that I, number one, had enough time to process, own up to my stuff, and then come back around to where I am open to it, but I also know my boundary in place of, you got to show me.
Because from my perspective, the issue comes in, like, maintaining a connection with someone when neither of you or one of you is unable to accept the reality. Because a lot of times the issue is one person is ready to move on and the other person isn't ready to move on. And that is a tension. If you can both say, we are no longer together and we're accepting that as a reality, I think it's easier to do. And sometimes people need distance to actually allow that to happen.
But why do you want to be friends with someone that you want to cut out of your life romantically? I don't see the point in you staying around. If I don't want to share my life with you, then I don't want to share my life with you. You have no place in my life.
I
share my life with you all. You're my friends.
You're saying,
I share my life with my mate. I share my life with my children. I share my life with my mother. I feel like the people that are in my life, I'm sharing my life with. So if I tell you I don't want to be with you anymore, or you tell me you don't want to be with me anymore, I don't want you to share my life.
I think it's the way that you're interpreting it, don't want to be. I can sit up here and be like, you're better as a friend for me. Because that is, I realize that there are some people in my, some relationships, we should have only been friends.
I agree with you on that. And if I tried anything with you, we'd be done. It'd be like over. Like, I don't see the need for us to go
any further. Okay. So we're at a 30-minute mark on this one. We can pick it up when we come back. So I'm gonna stop us here, and then we can look into. Okay, we are back with part. Stop laughing at me.
Hi, everybody. That, no, I'm saying, I can't break nails. Not so much.
So, part two of our unprisoned recap conversation. Again, watch the show, another plug. But we were just talking about maintaining friendships with a former partner. Tay over here is like, nah, they dead to me.
Like,
these people burn them in effigy. Now, we've talked about this before, but I think what I said is first, and I'm gonna let her speak because y'all need to hear this. So I said that for me, it's the idea that a partner is a role that they're playing in my life, and so. Although I may no longer want you to play this role, it does not mean that there isn't another role that is equally important in my life that I see that you can play or fit, especially with, you know, someone that you've trusted and you've built where, for example, my former partner, even after we initially broke up, I had the code to his apartment. Like, I could go in there and he could trust me to do that. And what are his plans? And or those types of things. You knew I would be someone that could support him when his mom passed away. Those types of things and those relationships are challenging to find. And so that for me is why, okay, given the person, if I know that you have that type of character where I can trust you, yeah, you can play that role. That's the role I'm comfortable with you playing. I'm uncomfortable with you playing the intimate romantic role as well. That was an issue, not your character and ability to be there and support me as a human being.
But if your character is Jack, yeah, I'm gonna shot that. Cut them bitch
no,
off.
But that's but that Chante is good. Chante is, I don't want them in my life. Get out.
What a terrible. No, Maurice brought up point of trust, and I agree, but I take trust a different way. If I trusted you with my heart, you know, and I trusted you with my life, because apparently, you know, when you're with someone, you're expected to share your life with that person. Mm-hmm. And to me, if I trusted you with my life, I don't feel like after it's over, I can trust you with anything else. I don't want to trust you with my secrets, my time, you know, my energy, because I feel like when I gave you one of the most important things to me, which is my heart, you couldn't do that. Or we couldn't make that work. I'm not even going to put it all on one person. We couldn't make that work. So what makes me think that going forward, we're going to make anything work? You play no role because we couldn't do that together. So now we're going to be friends together? Now I can trust you to be, I don't know, to pay attention to my needs. But now as a friend, you're going to pay attention to my needs? Like, it doesn't make much sense to me and to hold on to it.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just going to add.
No, I'm just going to say about the
whole everyone's in your life for a season. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel about it. I'm like, you're in my life for this reason, for this season, and if it's not, no more.
But I agree with that too because at the end of the day, I think what Maurice and I still have to look at is character. Even if it's a role, I'm gonna look at character. And at the end of the day, I have certain character. I want a specific person about certain with a certain character,
right.
Regardless if it's friendship, intimate relationship, partner, right. Whatever it is, I still look for those things. And if it's like you don't get them, there's less trust. Like I said, I have, as I was talking during the break, I have level of trust.
Yeah.
And what made me rethink trust is a YouTube video of, I can't say this guy's name. I can't say it.
Okay.
But I'm not going to try. But he brought up this thing of trust, of how there's a cultural concept about it. But then when you look at the definition, trust is letting someone be who they are, seeing them as they are, and trusting that that's what they're going to present. So when you look at it, I was just like, if I look at that person's character and let them be that character, I now get to determine how much of me do you get? How much or any of me? Because with recent ex number 3, the only part that she can really get to is the wisdom side of me and the care of wanting somebody to do better, just people to do better in general. I have that no matter what. And that's for anybody. But to access me on any other more intimate levels, oh no, because there is a beast ready to rip her apart.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep that. I'm going to keep that at bay. And I'm going to stick to right here with that. So, and then there, I have the reason, season, and lifetime kind of situation, even though I'm questioning lifetime sometimes. Reason, seasons. I also let that be. Because even if it was a lifetime situation, it could be a lifetime friendship, but it has a season where it's supposed to come in, then it goes back out, then it comes back in, then it goes back out. I've had those.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, it just simply because like a reason and a season, it doesn't mean, like I said, that's kind of where the role is. Like you're the season was, we had a romantic season. Mm-hmm. That wasn't where you were meant to be. And so the real role was a friendship. And so just being open from my perspective, how I approach all of my relationships is just from a place of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is borrowed, like you're gifting. So the friendships that I have in front of me right now, you all, you're a gift. You are gifting your time, your presence, and if you continue to do that, I will be grateful for it. If you choose not to do it, then that's fine, then you are choosing that, but I'm just being open for what is for me is for me. So if you would like to continue to stay and offer, you know, love and support and positivity in my life, I'm not gonna discount that. But if you need to move on, then you will do that. Because I know that's what I'm offering. I will continue to offer that to people. And if they want it in a reciprocal fashion, we can do that. If not, I'm also happy with that because I don't need that. And that's not good for you. You know, I'm not gonna chase after you and be like, oh my gosh, I wanna give you love. No. I'm not doing that anymore. I only have enough. I think Tiffany, you said this earlier. Am I providing from a sense of overflow or am I providing for my cup? And I know I'm within myself. This is what I can offer. If you're not open to it, I'm not banging down your door trying to love you.
Bye. As Ariana Grande is so beautiful.
Thank you, Nick. Yes. Okay.
I also offer the show. I really like seeing how. Well, didn't like. I'll say this part kind of bothered me because I saw it in myself with my relationship with my children, because of how she grew up. She's very free with her son. You can tell by the way he talks to her. Mm-hmm. You can tell by the way that, you know, he loves mom.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that he respects mom. But that level of, you know, child's, you know, I hate to be like that, but having children and, you know, all of that, the level of how he said, you know, I have the watch on her, but she doesn't have the viewing on me. Like, I know where she is, but she doesn't know where I am necessarily. Mm-hmm. He's like, isn't she supposed to have it on you? He was like, oh, well, she trusts me. Like, I know that she's that free with him because of how she grew up. And because of the things that she experienced, she chooses to go into it trying to be completely different from what she experienced. That is me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in doing that. And as she's seeing with her father being there, she's seeing some things with her child, like, you know, just allowing him to just not, you know, say he doesn't want to drive and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And the dad's like, come on, boy, let me show you.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's driving, he loves it. Like, she just kind of lets him flow. And mm-hmm. if they don't have just a little bit of guidance mm-hmm. and some boundaries, it's very hard for them to find what they like and what they want to do themselves. Kids can't really guide themselves.
Yeah.
You know? And from my position, I see that I did something kind of similar
mm-hmm.
with my children, that I did kind of expect them to, because I didn't want to interfere or I didn't want to push like my mom did, because my mm-hmm. dad wasn't involved in my rearing at all. But in the way my mom did, I didn't want to push and be that overbearing, like mm-hmm. parent hover. I kind of fell back.
Mm-hmm.
And like I saw with her, fell back too much to where the kids weren't even, you know, they weren't even challenged.
Yeah.
And well, I like the grandpa to come in and offer that challenge.
Yeah.
I think it's just a matter of, like you said, having a boundary. Person I'm talking to was explaining her mom's take on that was, when it came down to growing up, you had to do one thing that involved movement, one thing artistic. So they could change it. So if they didn't like something, they could change it to something else. But it always had to be one thing movement, one thing artistic. And so, I mean,
wish I could.
I did the same thing with my kids. They had to pick an action, some type of activity.
She did dance, so that kind of not yeah. to kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
But that's what they did, either sports or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I hear you, and I think at the end of the day, and again, grounding this in the show, what I appreciate if you watch later seasons. Is like her realization that, like, just because I'm giving out this information, I'm still a mess. And because if you pushed, maybe your child would have felt like you pushed too much, or like there's just never, it's always whack-a-mole, you know? And so, just at the end of the day, you just can do the best that you can do. And yeah, it is sometimes good though to have what I feel like her father is providing, is he's seeing the gaps. Like that's what, and so whether that's with the parent, whether that's with a friend, whether that's with a partner, someone that sees the gaps in your child is like, come up and say, hey, let me fill, can I help?
Let's help.
So, because you've got to, you know, because you can't do it all. Like, it takes a vigil. It really does take a village. And so that's where having the community mm-hmm. is really helpful, because other people are going to be able to see certain things that you're not going to be able to see, and just have a different relationship because they're a different person than you. Because I don't have children, but I remember being a child, and I always thought, like, oh, that person's mom was so much greater or better, and I love being there. And then my mom, like, you're so annoying.
Your mom is, they're always, they're the problem, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and I appreciate you always being willing to, you know, reach out to my child and bless the child. And, you know, try to help, well, my son, Maywell, along this road, and a long one. But I really appreciated seeing that. Like you said, the grandfather definitely felt, and like I said, someone being willing to step into that gap and help it out, you know, and see where he needs things and help fill it. Because moms, we don't know anything. These kids don't realize we know anything until they're way older and time has passed for it to matter.
Yeah, probably. I would say I'm really just getting into like really appreciating my mom, like, and I'm 40 now. So.
Okay.
I don't want to say we can. Yeah. I know. Love them. Well, any other final thoughts on the episode?
Watch the show.
I thoroughly enjoyed the show.
Great show.
Definitely.
Season two.
I know. Well, that's what we got to get people to watch. So next thing, should we stop here or include the next conversation as part of the a whole nother episode. Okay, so we are going to go ahead and stop here. That's episode one. And then you
welcome
all
back.
Yes, we okay. will hear episode two next week.